We as humans are coded by DNA. DNA is our code. So what happens when we start hacking our own code? And that's my biggest challenge and my biggest question for all of us here, because this is the biggest thing that happened in the history of mankind. It's not just me saying this. One of the founders and directors of Google was saying that blockchain and AI are the biggest invention of mankind after fire and electricity. So, what is the DNA of our time? So if you look at the DNA of our time, it's all about technology. We are technology driven, we sleep with our phones, we have our sensors all over the place, probably I think everyone here has at least 2 phones with you as we speak, and every phone has around 20 to 30 sensors monitoring everything we do, and the data that we are creating in social media, emails and so forth, is creating a digital profile of each of us. And this digital profile, of course, is being used by big corporations like the likes of Silicon Valley, but as well by governments to understand about us and how they can get more about this. So this is kind of what we have, but this is changing in a much, much bigger level at the moment.
When we look into what's happening in the US, sentient world simulation run by the intelligence community that is basically picking up data from transhumanistic technologies of all the people, creating a real world simulation to turn US citizens into biorobots.
We cannot reverse this. This is happening as we speak. So this is going to be a quantum leap in our history of humans, because if you look at the history of evolution, evolution would take hundreds of thousands of years for us to be mutated, humans. In the next 5 to 10 years, or 20, we're going to have singularity happening, we're going to have a lot of things, machines to humans, and we're going to be able to create hybrids between humans and machines. So something that would take hundreds of thousands of years to happen, now is going to be possible to do in the space of years or even months. Of course, I'm not trying to be futuristic here, but there's a lot of things that are happening as we speak right now. But of course, the biggest challenge is about governance and ethics.
A targeted individual is linked to a computer simulation by finding the resonant frequency of their DNA and then setting up a standing wave of DNA between a device and the targeted individual. By measuring slight variations in phasing using pulse code modulation, the targeted individual's mind is mapped out and a cognitive model is created in the computer. This allows for the creation of a targeted individual's very own digital twin to exist in the sentient world simulation.
The ultimate interface between computers and biology, the digital code and the genetic code have a lot in common, something Schrodinger pointed out in 1943, saying it could be something as simple as the Morse code. And digital code, as you know, is a binary code, ones and zeros, and your genetic code is literally a four-base code. With A, C, G's, and T's. And we can now readily convert in between the two. And we can define life at its most basic level. So things that were a mystery 50, 60, 70 years ago, we understand completely.
The new model regards DNA as a stable waveform of information that is not primarily acting through the molecular chemistry and composition, but through the oscillations and coherent acoustic and electromagnetic fields that the atoms and molecules create. An implication is that ultimately DNA could be transferred or transported, let us say teleported, immaterially and non-locally as a light or laser modulation.
Because all of the functions and characteristics of all biological entities, including viruses and living cells, are written into the code of DNA. If one can read and write that code of DNA, then they can be reconstructed in a distant location. This is what we mean by biological teleportation.
So my digital biological converter will have a small box that you can attach to a computer to in fact receive a digital wave. Converted into a protein, perhaps a vaccine, or even a cell. So think about in a future flu pandemic, we could digitally distribute a new vaccine in seconds around the world, because this is biology now moving at the speed of light.
This conversion process can also be reversed to create a bi-directional communications link between a targeted individual and their very own digital twin existing within the sentient world simulation.
Digital code, as you know, is a binary code, ones and zeros, and your genetic code is literally a four-base code with ACGs and Ts. And we can now readily convert in between the two.
For every task in the cell, there is a protein to carry out that task. And everything a protein does is built into its linear code derived from the DNA code.
These proteins have been described as nature's robots. And if you think about it, for every single task in the cell, every imaginable task is described by Tanford and Reynolds, there is a unique protein to carry out that task. It's programmed when to go on, when to go off. And it does this based on its structure. It doesn't have consciousness. It doesn't have a control from a mind or a higher center. Everything a protein does is built into its linear code derived from the DNA code.
The DNA in the nucleus is electromagnetically connected to the proteins in the axons. This complex electromagnetic relationship between the proteins and the DNA is how the DNA tells the protein robots when to go on and when to go off.
In each hydrophobic pocket, the electron clouds of indole and phenylalanine rings may become shifted one way or another. Much like a bit of data in a computer, a one or a zero, this quantum bit can also exist in a state of quantum superposition between both states. This alters the pathways that energy can inhabit in the microtubule.
The DNA in the nucleus is connected electromagnetically with microtubules in the axon. And you can see on the photograph, it's known that microtubules surround the nucleus, and there is an interface, electromagnetic, not mechanical, not chemical, but electromagnetic interface between microtubules and DNA.
The electromagnetic instructions sent between the DNA and the proteins is decoded by setting up a standing wave of DNA between a device and a targeted individual, and then measuring slight variations in phasing using pulse code modulation.
Once they have your DNA, they take the DNA and they put your DNA code in a supercomputer. And in that supercomputer, they run algorithms that biocode electromagnetic transmission so they bioresonate with your body. Once they've done that, they can transmit that from satellites or cell towers or aircraft or any number of ways, and that signal will only affect you.
And what happens is once the resonant frequency is found in the targeted individual and the broadcast frequency matches up with that resonant frequency, those two frequencies interlock. And they can be thought of as one frequency or one energy. And what happens is between the broadcast frequency and the individual that's receiving the broadcast frequency, once it's resonating, once they are resonating together, a super highway of frequency along which information can be sent is created. And so you can think of it just like fiber optic cables that you use to send signals over the internet that connect people to the internet. It's the exact same thing, only a wireless application of that. And so once you have connected the targeted individual with the frequency and they resonate together, then you have a perfect avenue upon which to send and receive information back and forth. And that's exactly how they manipulate someone's thoughts. They send voices into someone's head. They manipulate their emotions. They manipulate their behavior. And then that's also how they receive back from the individual in real time the vital signs, the emotions, the thoughts, what the person's seeing, what the person's hearing. And then all that information, of course, is rendered on a computer elsewhere via software, and it can be monitored and tracked in real time.
At the moment, we're digitizing all our activities. Our physical, like a bit of the organic and the digital, are merging. And of course, we're using, for now, data technologies, general technology. But in terms of, as we put, artificial intelligence, especially right now, machine learning and algorithm-driven technology and IoT, and then blockchain with smart contracts, we're creating something new, that is the digital transformation and the foundational techs that are much more sensitive and much more neurologic in the sense that they touch everything. And of course, all of us will be part of this, especially as DNA becomes completely digital.
For 130,000 years, our capacity for reason has remained unchanged. The combined intellect of the neuroscientists, engineers, mathematicians pales in comparison to even the most basic AI. Once online, a sentient machine will quickly overcome the limits of biology. In a short time, its analytical power will be greater than the collective intelligence of every person born in the history of the world. Some scientists refer to this as the singularity. I call it transcendence.
I think some of the most frightening parts about it really are some of these autonomous weapons programs, many of which have to do with the brain. They're called brain-computer interface programs. It's the idea of merging man and machine, using man's mind to control the weapons of the future. And they are already looking 25 years out. They're already working on those projects, and those projects are in R&D.
Android robots to replace people in manufacturing tasks. Android robot servants for every home. Thought-controlled avatars to provide telepresence in any place of the world to transfer one's personality to an alternative carrier. The epoch of cybernetic immortality begins. The new generation of avatars provides complete transmission of sensations from all five sensory robot organs to the operator.
So wherever we are in time, if you read my books and, of course, their history, wherever you are, if you're in the 60s reading about the 60s, you realize, my God, DARPA was in the 80s already, and, you know, so on and so forth. And so where DARPA is now is 20 years in the future, 25 years in the future.
There was a movie a few years ago starring Johnny Depp called Transcendence, which encapsulated where I'm saying this is going. For those who haven't seen it, Johnny Depp played a scientist only a few years into the future, by which time they had quantum computers, which is what I think the universe is. So he then found he was dying. So his scientist wife downloaded his consciousness onto this quantum computer. And after he died, she downloaded it onto the internet. And Johnny Depp's consciousness took the internet over. And by then, they had the Internet of Things, so he was controlling everything, was controlling the Internet. So what they then did was release what they called sentient nanoparticles on the wind out into the atmosphere. Humans breathed them in, and because that technology then was connected to them, it connected them to the internet. So now Johnny Depp is dictating their behavior.
Before you go, oh, that's the stuff of science fiction. No, it's not.
You've advised the Joint Chiefs of Staff at the Pentagon, which sounds very important.
And I've also done some ongoing work with the Strategic Multi-Level Assessment Crew over the past 10 years at the Pentagon, at Dr. Tabayan's group, and with DARPA.
What has gone from the drawing board to the reality is this: the use of neural interfacing and physiological interfacing through the idea of remote-controlled small-scale systems to create a nano-swarm of biopenetrable materials that you cannot see that can penetrate all but the most robust biochemical filters that are able to integrate themselves through a variety of membranes, mucous membranes, and wherever, mouth, nose, ears, eyes, and they can be done in such a level that their presence is almost impossible to detect. And as such, the attribution becomes exceedingly difficult to demonstrate. The idea here is to put minimal-sized electrodes in a network within a brain through only minimal intervention to be able to read and write into the brain function in real time, remotely.
The technology is now so sophisticated and advanced, they don't even need nanotechnology for their technology, for their technology to work properly. Nanotech is not required, although it is necessary for training, research, and development. They use it as a bioamplifier. and they map out the brainwave signature of the victim. The digital brainwave imprint is taken, and that digital brainwave signature is uploaded back to a supercomputer. As it builds this cognitive model inside its database, this copycat parallel twin personality of the victim's brain.
Linking brains to machines and creating machine brains. Is that something we can handle? Can we handle the truth? Can we handle the answers? Can we create designer brains? Are they targetable after birth? Are they modifiable throughout the lifespan? The answer to each one of these, ladies and gentlemen, is yes. I give you no science fiction in this lecture. I only give you science fact.
Victim's brain is remotely tied to a supercomputer for life, using a computer multiplexer to route the signal to a tower satellite or mobile platform, which then relays the signal, the hidden carrier frequency within this bit stream, this fabricated and falsified bit stream of energy, okay, to the victim, to the digital receiver. The victim's brain, the victim has become a walking digital receiver.
Linking brains to the internet and data clouds that make an unlimited amount of information available to us all the time.
Call the information injection feedback loop. It's bidirectional, so they can upload, download, and speed of light. The system can, the supercomputer can. This information injection feedback loop, this neural link between the victim's brain and the supercomputer.
A machine that has cognitive capability and emotional capability. Literally uses the first person singular I and tells us how it feels.
Remember, any set of brainwaves can be copied, held, and perpetually, remotely captured, held, and perpetually replayed. Okay? So, you know, it was your memory, it's now no longer just your memory. It's now owned by the supercomputer.
A machine that has cognitive capability and emotional capability. A real, live, breathing, sensitive, and responsive entity, just like Pinocchio becomes a boy. If I stood before you 3 years ago and I told you this, I'd be like, here's science fiction that should start out with Once Upon a Time. Not science fiction anymore.
A new era dawns. The era of neo-humanity.
They are already looking 25 years out. They're already working on those projects. And those projects are in R&D. Some of them are classified. Many of them are in the early stages. And I was able to report on that by interviewing scientists who are working on those early stages, many of which who actually don't really know what their programs are for.
Remember, we're lied to as scientists, and we're compartmentalized. So I was doing work for DARPA, projects for the CIA, projects for the Department of Justice, projects for the Army, Navy. Examples of such projects are reading brain waves to control robots. I wrote the artificial intelligence code to track the nuclear, the submarine fleets around the world, robotic surgery and medicine. But I got into this line of research because I thought I would be the first to do computer to human brain communications after working on it, portions of it for DARPA, and then realizing, oh my gosh, this is MK Ultra on steroids. Same tactics being used, the mind control.
Most people don't believe it's happening. You can be tortured in your own home. No one will believe you.
Your brain has been rewired to feel the other, I call it the empathy machine. We can overpower all senses. We can create false sense of touch, make you think ghosts are touching you. We can, you know, create smells that aren't really there, tastes. So you can imagine all the trickery that we're capable of doing, from hauntings to being beamed up by aliens, being anal probed. Brain doesn't distinguish between these signals.
This isn't real.
What is real? How do you define real? If you're talking about what you can feel, what you can smell, what you can taste and see, then real is simply electrical signals interpreted by your brain.
So unfortunately, it gets into very dark topics of trauma-based conditioning we do remotely. This group of targeted individuals at the comfort of your own home, it's as if they brought you into a lab for alien dissection and whatnot.
Your brain reality is your reality. And if, in fact, I can import information into that brain and take outputs from that brain and link that to an avatar so that brain thinks that it's embodied and moving in the world and experiencing the world, can we do this? Yes, we can absolutely yoke brains to machines to create these interfaces.
So you imagine you have two neural networks, and it's a field of study that I've done quite a bit, and they're trying to learn each other. They're trying to communicate. And well, let me give this analogy. You have a spouse. After a long time, you can complete each other's sentences. And that's the kind of confirmation you're trying to get.
So it's like it grows with you, though.
It grows with you. It learns with you. Absolutely. And that, it's also why these experiments are lifelong generally, not always. But this takes time. This takes a computer to actually do the transformation from one brain to another that every word you say, and then they have a set vocabulary, and they start testing the words out, and then after a time, most human beings have a vocabulary of about 1,000 words, 5,000 words max. Shakespeare had 11,000 words. And once your vocabulary is mapped out, well, then they can put it on the automated mode, what are called chatterboxes, something that I worked on, to keep the human being talking in perpetuation, basically to a machine thinking it's a real human being. And they do this to scale, automate a lot of the degradation and the torture process, the breaking down of the will.
This is MK Ultra on steroids. Same tactics being used, the mind control. And I could not have that. And, you know, I even went with the former head of the LA FBI to Congress, spoke to the Judiciary Committee, the Armed Forces Committee, 23 senators, and most importantly, the Intelligence Committee. And they are supposed to be the oversight.
This is absolutely incredible. First of all, thank you for doing that, for going to Congress and going and speaking to these Senate committees and to the Senate Intelligence Committee, etc. It sounds like this was a replay of the Church Committee of the 1970s then, because you were coming forward as a DOD CIA whistleblower and Navy and NATO, etc. whistleblower. Speaking about this matter, what was the reception like?
And this is when I lost faith in my government. Was that event. The Senate Intelligence Committee, it seems like they're all on board for this global takeover.
Would you say we are in the New World Order currently?
Yes and no. It's just going to get worse. All military technologies will eventually seep into the policing forces of the the United States. And the U.S. economy is based on a war machine. President General Eisenhower said it. Beware. This is what's going to happen if you do not stay vigilant. It will become the entire economy, and they will create wars just to keep people employed.
We must not fail to comprehend its grave implications. Our toil, resources, and livelihood are all involved. So is the very structure of our society. In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
Unfortunately, it became true, and then we have President JFK, who I think was just about to spill the beans more exactly about these mind control weapons.
Really?
He got assassinated.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no secret is revealed. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be.
He got assassinated by a Manchurian programmed, brainwashed, assassin.